Stream us on the official ESPN 97.5 app. Presented by Sawgrass Steakhouse. KFNC on Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
SportsMappers, welcome to the fray.
Yeah, Lisa and I looked it up. It does fit.
It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and now SportsMap 94.1. No, because tool sheds like that need to be exposed and embarrassed.
Probably it's not even listening anymore.
Doesn't matter to me. Still fun. So here we go. Final hour of the show. We got two in the books, one to go. If you missed anything and you haven't downloaded the app yet, what's wrong with you? Yeah. You can take us anywhere and everywhere if you do that. But all you got to do is go to ESPN975.com. You can hit on the show and then find the hours that you missed, catch up on what you didn't get to, and also then download the app. And then you can take us anywhere and everywhere you go. We got people chiming in on a daily basis telling us they're listening to us from in the country, out of the country, around the country. It's
around the world.
Stuff. Of the world, Craig.
Hey, I'm a little sore from boxing yesterday, but I went to Vortex and did the Rumble class.
Yes, you mentioned that.
With Jordan. I think Jordan was going to throw up, by the way.
Whoa, Jordan went to the class
Jordan
with Smith. You?
Yeah, Jordan.
And he did the boxing class?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He did the spin class last week.
Did he wear the Nilly Vanilly tights?
I don't remember. I didn't check out his outfit.
Talk about the people that were cut from Destiny's Child. Jordan looks like he could be the lost member of Milli Vanilli.
But I bring it up to ask, are you guys coming to the ride class tomorrow?
I thought about it.
Bring your stuff.
Thought about it.
Bring your stuff.
I ran last night. I'm going to lift tonight, and I thought
bring
about
it. Bring your stuff. It'll be the hardest thing you've ever done as
completely,
a workout-wise.
I believe that.
I am not even lying to you. It was. We were done and joking and laughing about how difficult it was and how hard it was, but how fun and the kind of workout that it is. And I know AJ, he was making fun of me. He was like, "Who are you doing spin classes like a girl?" I'll put this out there right now. If you could come do that spin class without having to stop for the entire 45 minutes, I'll pay your $25 fee for the day.
Now we both know AJ can't do it without stopping right now.
It was one of the hardest workouts I've ever done, any kind of workout. That includes training with Bob back in the day in the gym, which he had a throw-up bucket at the ring. That's how difficult he would make you train doing pad work and stuff. He knew you were going to throw up.
Can I ask you a question too?
It's way harder than that.
On the spin class?
Yeah.
Ride
classes. Vortex. At Vortex, they call them ride classes.
Do they do it in a dark cave with neon?
It's dark and neon, yes.
Okay, because I've heard that's the way that was trending for any kind of spin class.
There were three people that were there at the last one that said this was their first time doing it at Vortex, and they had done it at some of the other like boutique spin class places that are very popular. Mm-hmm. And they were like, man, it was nothing like any of those. It was way better because it's like the work. It's a full body workout. You're not just riding a bike. Like
right.
At one point, you're holding hand weights, punching while you're riding. Good luck. Good luck.
Well, Nick's out.
I'll tell you.
I'm done, dude. I'm so worried.
I'll tell you the hardest. This is the most embarrassing part. I couldn't hold up a towel. I'm not even going to tell you. If you really want to know, come do it. You knot up this towel and you have to hold it up, good luck.
I'd rather just watch. Make fun of you two.
No, but dude, you want to talk about getting in shape?
That's the place.
So can I ask the question?
It's amazing.
When you're done.
Uh-huh.
Are you, because you're not wearing, I know you're a fan of tights, but to take a bit out of the jerky boys, but when you're done, my ass is killing me. Is it, are you feeling it?
I will answer that question as long as you two promise not to make it a drop.
No guarantee on that
one. Never mind then. I'm not answering the
question. Okay, I won't make it a drop.
The thing that hurt the most after that was my ass. Because the seat.
I was going to say, because the seat, if you're not wearing biker shorts or anything like that.
It's not some banana seat on some huffy bike. Because the whole point is they don't want you sitting down.
It's like a little hard plastic seat, right?
Yeah, and it was my butt was bruised.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know about all that, man.
But it goes away in like a day. It does.
A day?
Yeah.
So you have your It's hurting right now.
I did boxing yesterday.
Oh, okay. That's
like
right.
By Friday, by the time I got home Friday, it was fine.
We gave you a hard time with the Michael Phelps swim trunks. I guarantee he's got padded shorts now.
No way.
No. Because I want to get in shape. I want to be better at it.
You can be in shape and still wear biking shorts so that your ass and the bottom of your grapes aren't
killing. I was supposed to graduate into those jammers, and I never did. I just never made it.
It's like anything. It's like when you play guitar, you know, at first your fingers get tender and blistered. It's the same thing. The more you do the spin class, the more you...
Baseball, when you get back in the batting cages and stuff, until you develop the calluses, your hands are ripped open.
But it's an open invitation. If the listeners want to come out, I'll ride next to you. Let's do it. I mean, come out the Vortex. What is it? 1707 West Gray? Come out.
Maniac,
$25.
Maniac.
It's a badass. If you're seriously about wanting to get in shape, come do it. I'm telling you, man. Nick, you're going to be sexy.
I'm not sexy right now, sir?
Me.
I think the peoples would disagree. The peoples.
Well, pull your shirt up. Let me take a picture.
We're not going to do that.
We're not
going to
do that.
We're not going to do that.
Okay, so we got an hour left to go on the show, so I want to get this out there with some time to discuss if the listeners want to get involved in this. But in case you missed it, during an interview yesterday, LeBron James was talking about, and everybody's kind of gotten on board with the fact that he is a wine aficionado. There's been plenty in social media and news stories over the years about him and D-Wade and Carmelo and others. They love their wine. Someone asked him in some way, shape, or form about if he allows his kids to sample the wine.
Well, first of all, who asked that?
Dude, it's L.A.
Who's so gonna every ask day you, hey, you in your LA, kids drink?
No, I don't think they asked it. I think he brought it up on his own, man.
Okay. I was gonna say, who's asking that kind of question to LeBron?
Well, they asked the follow-up question. He mentioned it, and they asked the follow-up question of white or red, and then he went into more detail. But Nick, do we have the audio?
I'm trying to get it now.
Okay, we're trying to get the audio. So just to kind of give you guys the backstory, though, I mean, he's talking about that his kids keep him up to speed on social media. All right. So he says everything that his teammates listen to these days, my 14-year-old, my 11-year-old, they watch too. They see it. Apparently, they also show him. So he keeps up to speed with what's going on. He says, I've got a very mature 14 and 11-year-old. My 14 and 11-year-olds drink wine. That's how mature they are.
Okay.
All right. So, Nick, you got the audio?
I got very mature 14 and 11-year-olds. My 14 and 11-year-olds drink wine.
Really?
Yeah. That's how mature they are. Wow. They'd be driving next week, too.
So, then that was followed up with red or white. And he continued to go into detail. And I just, when I heard it, I thought, oh, my. There's going to be some people that are going to make an issue of this.
Now, have they? Has anyone come out and been appalled by that statement, or is it just a point of discussion?
So Lisa's morning show on Channel 11 this morning, they had a poll. Do you agree or disagree?
Okay.
That was one discussion that was going on.
Okay.
Others on social media were just chiming in with their opinions about, you know, obviously on both ends of the spectrum. Look, you know, from people, and I can attest to this personally. I grew up in a household in which if my dad was with his guy friends watching the games, Brewer games, Packer games, whatever, my best friend and I, our dads are watching the game, they'd say, we'd just grab it. We could sip their beer. We would drink their beers.
Mm.
Beers. I did that for you purposely.
Okay.
Their beer. But in different households, different opinions. So therefore, you're also seeing on social media, you're also seeing in response to this, you know, some parents are going to agree, some parents are going to disagree. The agrees, some of the opinions given were, this is a way to take some of the stereotypes away from drinking and get them to not think of it as taboo, but to be comfortable around it. So therefore, you don't abuse the privilege. Others are saying if you get them started now, you're setting them up for bad things later on.
I mean, like, I remember having a sip of my dad's Pearl Light,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a picture of me holding a beer with a cigarette in my mouth. Now the cigarette's not lit, but it was one
at
of those.
What age?
Like 4, 3.
Wow.
Wow.
That should be a poster somewhere.
But it was just kind of as a joke where they were like, oh, let him hold the beer. And
can that not be at your next comedy, at your shows? That should be the poster.
There's no visuals. No. But that was, you know, if they did that nowadays, of course, my parents would be roasted if that was on. Oh, look, we took this picture with little Barry. And man, the social media justice, the social justice warriors would have a field day with that.
No doubt.
But I just don't have a problem with it. I know I know back when I was in junior high or high school, there was this chick that I knew, and her family was Catholic. And all the kids would drink wine on a certain day. I don't remember if it was Sunday or not, but they would have wine with dinner. And this was, you know, like I said, junior high, high school. It wasn't like a bottle, but they would have a small glass of wine with their dinner once a week. I mean, it's whatever.
I mean, it's really hard for
people
me to tell.
People just look for a reason to get pissed off and get mad. They don't want to focus on their own world and sweep their own front porch. They want to go out and try to fix everybody else. Dude, LeBron James' kids are probably outstanding citizens and great people. And what the hell are you worried about? I don't know. That's how I look at it.
And Nick, go ahead. I mean,
I just think it's a risk as a parent because you don't know how, like LeBron, I mean, he probably has some pretty good genes and I think it's passed down to his kids. And so I think it depends. I think you know yourself. Like me, I'm, you know, I drink way too much. So I'm going to try and keep that alcohol away from my kids because I know my personality. I think you have to know yourself and you have to kind of know your kids and whether or not they're going to follow your footsteps. I'm not a parent, man. I don't know. I just wouldn't do it because not everybody. Some people have addictive personalities, some don't. But at the same time, I'm not going to yell at LeBron.
That's a great point.
That's
though.
His kids.
That's
his
a great kids, point. Not my the kids. Bloodlines have a lot to do with this as well, because no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable you make it and the things, the decisions you make as parents, bloodlines have a lot to do with it as well.
No, it's true. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not going to go into details about my family, but I learned as a kid that, you know, alcoholism is a disease. And if alcoholism is in your family,
yep,
then you could be susceptible to exactly. being an alcoholic.
And that's why in my person, like if I had a kid, I don't know if I ever will, but if I ever had a kid, I'd probably try to keep it away.
God help us if you
I know if I had a kid, that would be dangerous for the whole world.
No, that wouldn't be dangerous. That'd be a mistake.
I get that. Now, like in your family, did you have a lot of drinkers? We have drinkers in our family.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reason why I would be afraid. Here's the deal. You can keep alcohol away from a kid your entire life during their upbringing, and then they become alcoholics. You could present that alcohol during their upbringing, and they stay away from it the entire time. So it just kind of depends on how your kid reacts. Everybody reacts to things differently, and I just think it's a risk because at 14 or 11, you don't know how they're going to turn out at 20, 21, 22, 23.
11, regardless to me, 11 seems a little young.
Come on, 14, 11?
14, yeah, you're getting closer because like
you're not even close to
developing. You're
getting
closer to being an adult. So yeah, I would say that too. But I'm with you guys. I grew up with kids whose parents were both alcoholics. And no matter what you do, no matter what you try, and however you go about your business, they both became alcoholics.
Yep, it happens, man. I'm with you though. At 11, I mean, your brain is still developing.
Yeah.
You're still... It's a risky proposition, but I don't. When did you guys start drinking? I started drinking probably at 13, 14,
16,
3.
I'd say I'm maybe 14 or 15. I started drinking a little bit, not a lot, but I had a bad influence. My older sister was a bad influence.
Is that right?
So, oh yeah.
I didn't drink till I got to college.
Oh man, no.
I didn't drink in high school. I mean, occasionally I'd have one or two, but then in college I made up for lost time.
Did I tell you all the story about the chick that would drive us around and buy us beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did actually.
Yeah,
that was a bad person.
She was
a bad human being.
No, I was a sophomore because that's right. I wasn't even old enough to drive yet, and she would pick me and my buddy Patrick up and go buy us Big Mouth Mickey's and drive around while we got hammered. That was, like I said, at that age,
it's true love.
Freshman, sophomore. Yeah, I'll tell you how true love is. I don't even remember her name.
Well, that's good because you probably would use it otherwise. Give her a shout out. But hey, before we get to that too, I just want to throw that out there because I wanted to get everybody's opinion. If you want to chime in, just thought I'd throw that out there. But before we get to more everything else going on in the show, we do want to make sure that we touch bases on some other things as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about drinking, and listen, if you do drink, I got a solution for you, Nick. You said you drink a lot, dude. You need to get on that Thrive Plus. It came in handy for me. When I busted out the bottle of Crown, it comes in handy over the weekend when you got folks in and everybody wants to drink for you. 60% of Americans drink alcohol at least every month. And let's face it, it's a part of most of our lives as adults. And I'm not a heavy drinker by any stretch of the imagination, but even a moderate amount of alcohol can make you feel pretty bad the next day. I mean, you're feeling definitely less than 100%. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a 20-year-old that can handle it anymore. I'm getting older, and like 2 to 3 drinks, I might be hurting a little bit the next day. That's why I'm glad I had Thrive Plus. I think you'll like it. Give it a shot. It's a vitamin that you take when you drink alcohol. To use Thrive Plus, you simply take the 3 capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. And its whole role is to reduce alcohol's negative effects by giving your liver what it needs to process alcohol and those toxic byproducts that make you feel so bad. Now, I'm no scientist, but I've tried it, and I'm telling you, the product works. You just got to remember to take it, and you're good to go. And don't take my word for it. The product was featured on Shark Tank. The founder is an Ivy League graduate. There's five PhDs that are on their team. And if you feel like if you feel less than 50% better the next day, the company will give you your money back. So there's no risk whatsoever. So whether you have one, five, 13 drinks, take those three capsules at Thrive Plus afterwards, feel better the next day. It's that simple. You're going to feel better when you wake up, and your liver is going to thank you for it. And here's the cool thing. Thrive Plus is a Houston-based company. So if you order today, if you order before 4 p.m., you receive your product the next day on your doorstep, so you're ready to go for the weekend. They're even on Amazon, so if you just want to go in there and search for Thrive Plus, you can find them on Amazon. But to order, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. I don't know if you guys heard, but if you didn't know, now you know. We are throwing a pub crawl party. It's a Houston thing on Saturday, October 20th. Yep, it's the first annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl brought to you by my guys at Thrive Plus. It's going to be huge. Houstonians repping Houston sports while getting their drink on at 10 special hosting venues downtown. Tickets come with the following items. A limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone t-shirt, which I was looking up, by the way. I wanted to get one of those, so that might be worth it alone. Pub Crawl wristband, cup, and koozie. Thrive Plus samples. You're going to need them. And did I mention drinks for just $3? You can get your tickets now because, look, the prices are going to go up at some point, so you better get on it now. You get to hang out with Fred Fowler. You get to buy him a drink, try to get him so drunk that he can't crawl or that he has to crawl. General and VIP tickets are available at htxpubcrawls.com. That's htxpubcrawls.com. Get those tickets before the prices go up. Have fun. And let's see if we can get Fred Fowler drunk enough to crawl.
You know that's going to happen, right? He hasn't been drinking. Yeah. He's been working out. And I was talking to him before the meeting today. He hasn't been drinking.
Looking good, too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long it's been, but he said it's been quite a while, and he plans on not drinking until the pub crawl.
Good for him.
I was like, oh, look out, because that pub crawl, you're going to have to drink. And he's like, oh, I know. I was like, oh, boy.
He was, you know, every day he comes into the studio, he's like, sexy bitches is right. What he calls us. He's looking like a sexy bitch now. He's looking good. Nick, you're going to need to come to the ride class tomorrow, because you might be the ugliest dude at the station if you don't.
Because Fred is just, he's taking care of business.
Yeah, you're now in last place.
Well, he's always kind of been like a marathon runner and stuff like that.
Now, Nick, it needs to be clarified too. Do you have to bring your own towel?
No.
Oh, see. Well, then, Nick,
you literally bring some shorts and a t-shirt.
I know exactly what you're doing there.
Bring some shorts and a t-shirt. That's all you need. They've got the shoes for you. They have towels. Here's what's badass.
Nick, if you need shorts, check my mailbox.
there you go. I did miss it. You're right. But here's something cool. When you're done with the class, whether it's the Rumble class or the Ride class, somebody's out there with a basket of cold, wet towels. Because you're burning out, sweating.
Yeah.
And they have like a lavender scent. You're just like, man, this is so badass. You're just sitting there just relaxing.
It has a lavender scent? That's nice.
Badass, dude. I'm telling you, man. You just need to go try one.
So it's foo-foo.
No, it's not foo-foo. It's luxurious.
Oh.
But like I said, that's like I tell you, man, it's luxury. But $25 for a class, that's legit. It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, you want to take Tony's call? He wants to talk about the fight coming up. A couple things he wants to talk about. LeBron and Lewis versus Cormier.
What's up, Tony?
I just wanted to say, I mean, DC is a world-class wrestler and all, but I don't think he has the strength that Derek Lewis has at all. I mean, he can get on top like he did with Silva and just try to smother him with his wrestling and stuff, but I think Lewis has the strength just to shrug him off, quite honestly. And I think if it goes the distance, obviously DC would get decision. But if Lewis gets one clean shot on anybody, like, they're put to sleep, period. I love the guy's heart. I like how he reps Houston, you know, in his post-fight interviews and, you know, press conferences and all that. I mean, I've seen him wear Colt 45 hats and all that, and throwing the H-sun, you know, with his hands, post-fight interviews and all that. But besides that, as far as the stuff with LeBron, his kids drinking wine, I'm not even a LeBron fan, but I'm going to have to defend him on this one, because it's just like parents trying to teach your kids gun safety at a young age. I think if you show them the ins and outs and you know, the intricacies of things like this as they're young, I think they'll grow old and learn to respect this kind of thing as they get older, and you know, treat it with respect. And that's basically all I wanted to say.
Good stuff, Tone. Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing on that too, because I talked to Lisa about this, because I was laughing. She was talking about Taylor's with her mom and dad in California right now, hanging out with grandma and grandpa a little bit, and her nephews, and they had crash helmets for their bikes. And she's like, maybe we should get Taylor a helmet. And I was like, well, I mean, okay. I mean, I understand when she's real young, but the fact of the matter is, this goes to so many things that I have this conversation with Lisa that you have once you're a parent. And I'm like, we turned out okay. I never had a helmet. You know, things that, like we were just talking about, I had sips of my dad's beer.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we watched certain things on TV. Society has gotten so
soft.
Yeah. I was going to look for a better way to put that.
So,
you know,
preventative,
a more
and
PC
so protective.
Way.
Yeah.
But it's true. Society as a whole has become so soft that things we never even imagined. I mean, we lived on fast food and things like that. And everybody's like, well, you need to not let your kids have any, you know, fats and no carbs and keep them on. No. I mean, hot dogs. Yeah, okay, so what? I mean, these are things that everybody's like so hypersensitive about today. And it's like, we dabbled in all that stuff. We turned out okay.
Yeah, I know it's people trying to be better than for their, wanting better for their kids than they had. But some of this stuff is just, I don't know. It's just a little much. I don't know. I hate to be the old guy like, yeah, back in my day, but you're right.
I mean, I didn't want to, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to do it the right way.
To this day, I won't ride a bike with a helmet.
Me either.
No. I'm a grown ass man. I'm not putting on no stupid ass helmet.
I wouldn't either.
And no. My wife bought a bike. She's the only one that has a bike in our family and a helmet. And I was like, you look ridiculous. You look like an idiot with a helmet.
Tell her that. Why would you
tell
her
that? No, I totally would tell her that.
They now make bike helmets and batting helmets with a hole in the back
for
ponytails.
Yeah. I'm not, nope, not doing it.
Which I just learned. I did
not
know that.
She rode the bike like twice. That was 9 years ago. And the bike is still sitting in my garage.
It's like in brand new shape.
I'm tempted. Oh my God. Here's what I'm going to do. In fact,
with you.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the bike. I'm going to put it on the road and then post to my Facebook group, free bike, come get it, and then put my address. And that's somebody. And I guarantee you, she won't notice that the bike is gone for years.
But then when she does.
Oh, boy.
Then when she does,
your ass is grass.
You know what I'll tell her? Oh, we must have lost it in the move. And that was already 4 years ago. And she'll be like, really? Yeah, I guess we never brought it over.
I'm going to tell you this.
She ain't gonna
How much of your wife's stuff have you thrown away?
Not much. Here's what she
does.
You
sound like you've done this before.
Yes, it does.
I mean, a couple times. Here's what she does, though. She'll be like, she'll do laundry, and then she'll be like, you need to throw away some of these underwear. I'm like, why? Because some of them have holes in them. I'm like, those are the best ones.
Oh, my God. That's so ridiculous.
Those are
so
weird. Those are the most comfortable underwear are the ones with the holes in them. And she'd be like, well, you need to throw them away. I'm like, listen, I don't tell you to throw anything away. You don't tell me to throw anything away. I'm not throwing
Bears
those away.
Over here hoarding.
And then I'm like,
underwear.
By the way, why are you doing laundry with scissors? What are you? Are you cutting up my stuff? Are you putting holes in them so I'll get rid of some of this stuff? Yeah, she's always. And then you know what'll happen? I can't find those underwear anymore. And I'll ask her, did you throw those away? Uh-uh. I know damn well she
I'm gonna
threw
tell you
them
this.
Away. I know damn well
but
she
you're
threw
right
stuff away.
About the whole they want it and then they only use it twice.
Yep.
So we were talking about the pit bull because the fact that Buddy is the sweetest dog in the world, but people out in our, if you see that dog, even on a leash, they're terrified of him. And I'm like, he's getting kind of fat. And I can't run him when I run the other dogs, because if you let him off the leash and someone sees it, they're going to call the cops and think that we're, so at least like, oh, no. You know what? I need to buy rollerblades. I'm going to buy rollerblades and knee pads and elbow pads. And then I'm going to take Buddy while I rollerblade, and he can pull me some of the time, but then I can get in a workout in. And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay. Next day, the rollerblades showed up. I watched her experiment with the rollerblades in the driveway, and that's all I needed to see. She has never taken, and she keeps telling, no, now I'm going to start doing it. She won't, you're a damn lie. There's not one time she's going to take that dog with rollerblades. But yet we had to pay for those rollerblades to get them delivered the next day because we had to have them.
Of course you did.
Man, I'm putting out a sign too on my Facebook page. Come pick up these damn rollerblades. Yeah.
Never used.
None. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. We've got plenty more to get to, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. So 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects. SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hope you're enjoying the show and along for the final half hour. 30 minutes on the clock. It's The Usual Suspects. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. You don't have to do a thing, and we'll simulcast on both ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Nick, Barry, Joel, all present, accounted for, and in studio. Covered a lot of ground today on a way back Wednesday. Nick is our number 3 of the Hall of Fame nominees for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, pre-2008. We already gave you the list. If you missed anything, download the app, go to ESPN975.com, check the podcast. You are chuckling. I don't know why.
I'm reading the text line. We were talking about stuff that our wives have purchased and not used. Somebody texted and said, I wrote, keep up the good work in the dust on my wife's Peloton screen. That's those bikes, those old fancy bikes.
That's the one with the commercials lately where they're talking about,
I could be a college athlete. I could be a rock star. And then they're on the bike and there's that lady. He said, I wrote, keep up the good work in the dust on the screen.
That's good.
That's so funny.
That's really good.
That is funny. One time I was on this health kick and I was like, man, all I'm going to do is eat fruit. And I ate fruit for like one day. And that's all I ate. And I got so sick of fruit in 24 hours. That I didn't eat fruit anymore, but I had bought all this fruit. And my wife took a Sharpie and wrote on these oranges, please eat me, Barry. Please don't ignore me. Like, she wrote all these mess. I was like, really? She's like, well, you wasted all that damn money on the fruit. I was like, okay.
I'll tell you what. I wouldn't have that problem. I'd have a different problem if I just ate nothing but fruit.
Really?
Whew. Oh, I'd be afraid to take a quick step. Oh. It'll clean you out.
We always talked about the pineapples.
The pineapple,
hey,
yes.
Real quick, tonight I have a show I wanted to plug. I'm in the Heights. I'm at the American Legion for the Greater Heights Comedy Night. I am headlining. And so especially if you're on in the area on the north side, come to the show. It's right there on Alba Road, ALBA. It starts, dinner's at 7, doors open at 6, show starts at 8. It's $25 at the door, but you get the show. You get a dinner from Spaghetti Warehouse, Spaghetti Western.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's a nice
Spaghetti Western, and then you get two drinks for $25. That's a good deal. Yeah, and I'll be headlining, so I'll be doing 45 minutes. Probably the last chance you'll get to see me do 45 minutes for a while, because now that I'm going to be doing my album next year, I probably won't headline until like February or March at the Joke Joint. So
now at the American Legion, do they wear their hat, a certain hat, like the Flintstones, the Grand Poobah gets to wear the...
It's not a moose. In fact, some of the money goes to support veterans because it's... Like when you get there, there's a lot of nostalgia and there's an old fighter plane, I think, in the parking lot. It's badass, so...
I'm going to call you the Grand Poobah.
But yeah, no. You should definitely come out.
You're going to knock them dead tonight, Poobs.
You can... No. If you want details, just go to my Facebook or barryisfunny.com. Okay. There you go. Now, a couple more texts that I wanted to get to before we talk Clevenger and Robert Flores. Somebody texted said, who's the most annoying producer on the shows? Dale, Nick, Tyler, or Jong? I'm going to plead the fifth.
Probably me or Dale.
I'm not going to answer.
I'd probably say me.
I think Jong is the least of everybody.
I would agree with that sentiment.
I will say he's the easiest to get along with, the nicest. Mm-hmm. I think you, Dell, and Tyler all have your moments. Tyler, okay. Tyler gets real sensitive sometimes when you talk to him at a break, or he'll yell at you. So he's
Tyler
not,
will?
Oh yeah, he's not. I've worked with Tyler for a long time, back on the game day days. So I can tell you, sometimes he's great. He's a lot of fun, but he'll get in a bad mood and scream at you. So you have to be careful. So I don't know. I'm gonna say a three-way tie between you, Dell, and Tyler.
Okay.
Everybody's great.
You're not you're not saying a word. Okay. That's probably it's a fair question though. That's
not
fair.
Really.
Everyone
really
always
isn't.
Asks like
really?
Who's
why do we have to be annoying? It's not really a fair question.
Because everyone always asks like who's the most annoying on air host? And they have their opinions about that. But you guys all get mic time. You shouldn't be exempt from that.
That's true.
Okay. I mean, if you want to be, then shut up. Turn
you
your
know
mic
you're
off.
Not exempt from the text line like us. We all get
exactly.
crapped on the text line.
Yeah.
I don't even look at the text line. I let you two handle that. Y'all know that. Every once in a while, I'll
peek in there.
Yeah.
It gets the best of you sometimes. Bear, if you want to see some interesting sights while in Portland, check out Saturday Market.
Yeah.
What down, is that?
So essentially, it's down on the Willamette, off right by downtown. There's a spot alongside the river where they do Saturdays. It's almost like a flea market, but they have, obviously, with Portland, so they have healthy eats and treats other things you can buy and think. But there's a wide range of people.
Like Trader's Village?
More upscale.
Okay.
No.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Barry, I got the same picture as a kid when I was about 5 years old when I was talking about having a beer and a cigarette in my mouth. And just like Joel, I would sip beer with my dad when I was watching sports. That's from NASCAR Johnny. I think that was prevalent amongst a lot of us.
Big time.
My dad never gave me any alcohol growing up, but I did drink like a fish now. Maybe if he had given me some earlier, I wouldn't drink so much.
That was an argument this morning with people that were chiming in with tweets on the topic on Channel 11.
John Parker said, I took my first sip of beer at 8, and I'm not an alcoholic. My dad was, so that may be why I'm not. That's true. I think it just depends. Like, some people go, if their dad
was. How you react.
Yeah, some folks, their parents were alcoholics, choose to go the complete opposite way because they despise it. Like, if your parents smoke, some people are going to be smokers, and some people are going to disgust them, so they're not. They never would. You just never know.
It's basically what I was referencing in the last, when we brought it up the first time.
Yeah.
Yep. It's every kid's going to react to it differently.
All right, so before we get to break, let's get this out of the way. This Clevenger story really was interesting. I know right off the top, people, as soon as the Astros had closed out the Indians, had dug around, and you know that everything has no shelf life on the internet, found a Clevenger quote from during the season when he basically was there. People were giving praise to the Astros and the series and the competition, and he was basically kind of shat on the Astros and basically said,
nope.
I said chat. I didn't say the word. Okay. But anyway, he kind of crapped on the Astros and he said, they're not any different than us. They're not any better than us. They're not anything different. And so people.
They're nothing special.
They're nothing special. And then some people here in Houston decided to make a whole video about it.
Right.
So that got Robert Flores involved, and you actually got involved with that too.
Well, yeah, so Robert Flores just retweeted it and said the internet never fails, and I think he said something that he thought it was funny. Remember, Robert Flores is from Houston. He's a U of H Cougar. He went on to ESPN and did SportsCenter, and now he's with the MLB Network. And I'm not going to like read the whole back and forth. It's very funny, very interesting, because Clevenger lost it. Like, he was really salty about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Roflo, which is his nickname, handled it like a pro. He's just like, well, just, you know, call MLB and get in touch with me and we can talk about it. And you can,
They struggled. He was trying. He was like, I'm following you. If you follow me, I can send you a message or my phone number. And Clevenger kept going, well, I'm following you and I haven't got anything yet. And you're a little girl.
But he basically called him a cockroach. And it's all because Robert Flores tweeted something about Cleveland, who just gotten beat by the Astros. My thing about it is there are plenty of people in the media that have allegiances to sports teams and franchises that pump them up, that you know, probably when they shouldn't, like the chick that I was talking about the other day that was like, I don't think he should have played, Judge should have played New York on the way out of Fenway Park.
Right.
That was wrong. No, you're saying that because you're a Red Sox fan and you're salty right now, and I get it, and that's fine if that's how you want to be. But then why are people getting mad at like Roflo for supporting the Astros? That doesn't make sense to me. So that's just a guy being salty because he lost and being, you know, bitter because he got run. If he would have tweeted something out about Boston and the Red Sox, Clevinger doesn't think twice. But because it was him and because he lost and because Flores is an Astros fan, he got upset. Okay, that's fine. But he's all saying how he's unprofessional and he's going to call the MLB Network and Major League Baseball and get him in trouble. Like what? Because he's a fan too? That's ridiculous.
And it started with Robert Flores was very simply. He goes, this, question mark. And he replayed the quote from Clevinger from during the season when he said of the Astros, they're not that special. And basically had a couple of comments about how basically the two teams were very comparable and downplayed how good the Astros were. And Astros fans had a field day with it without Robert Flores. Astros fans had a field day and put it all over the place anyway. They played the song The Sounds of Silence while all you could see was highlights of hard-hit balls throughout the series and home run balls for the Astros.
Yeah.
So they had some fun with it. And then Clevinger wasn't having any fun with it.
Well, I tweeted to Robert and said, hey, man, we'd love to have you come on and talk baseball. And I really wanted to talk Clevinger, and I think he knew that, but he didn't respond. But then Nick tweeted or texted him and said, hey, can you come on? And apparently the MLB Network said, nah, not this time.
Not right now. He's happy to come on. I thought he was going to
talk baseball.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They just don't want any more publicity for this because this is a bad look because when you're talking about the MLB Network, it would have been different if it was ESPN. If he was, because Robert Flores came from ESPN, but as long as he's associated with MLB, they want this to go away because it's a bad look.
Yeah.
So we should take note here sometime. All right. So we've got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It is the usual suspect. It's ESPN and it's Sports Map 94.1. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I know a lot of you are out there and you guys are still dealing with roof issues, whether it be because of the hurricane or otherwise, and you need help. And the fact of the matter is there's people that are out there to say that they're here to help. And then once they get your money and your deposit, they take off. They don't do very good work and you can't get in touch with them after a certain amount of time. And you just get caught holding the bag and still having a bad roof. Well, Fitz Roofing's not like that. Fitz Roofing is dedicated to the Houston community. They are completely here for you before, during, and after the sale. Right off the top, I'm just going to tell you, free, no-obligation inspections. All you do is call 832-521-3001 or log on to fitzroofing.com. That's fitzroofing.com. Either way, you just get in contact with them. They'll come out and see what you got. They'll tell you what they can do. They'll give you a price, and they'll walk away. If you want them to do the deal, you call them back. They'll be there for you. Fitz Roofing, a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. That means they use CertainTeed shingles, which are only the best. And because they are a Select Shingle Master Company of CertainTeed, that means only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States get the criteria to attain that status. They have it. Their base warranties longer than your average roofer. And they give 10% of all their profits back to the community through a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. It helps people that need roofing issues fixed but don't have the money to pay for it. It's a fantastic deal. It's all part of the way they do business, and you can trust them. FitzRoofing.com, 832-521-3001. Making a difference one home at a time. It's Fitz Roofing.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You lose, bitch.
There you go. That one got out.
I just want to point. No, I did it on purpose. Nick disqualified. You done played this song already.
I'm texting you the screen right now.
It twice,
just to show you what I deal with on a daily basis. Not to mention YouTube clowns.
Shut your mouth.
Me too, clowns. I'm the one coming back from break. What are you playing, a repeat? I just heard it.
In the same hour that you only had to have 7 songs because we play our show opener, you repeat a song.
Please,
you big Virginia, you couldn't even come up with 7 damn songs.
Look at your cell phone. I just texted you the picture of my screen right now. It's a disaster.
I blocked your text. Get out of here, cheater.
Wow.
I repeat the same song, and I'm a cheater. By the way, who won the vote?
I knew that was going to come because I knew you probably won again.
I didn't look. I did not look.
Come on.
I'm about to look.
You only ask that question when you win.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
That means I won. Right when he said that means I won.
Let's move on.
Let's not. 44% to 32% to 24%. Again.
Did I have 24?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, Barry's the one that's got the worst.
Yeah, I got worst creamed.
List. 1 minute left to change this.
I already retweeted it, begged for votes. Chris Forrest was like, I voted for Barry because he never asked for votes. He never lobbies for votes.
Yeah.
And then I retweeted the polls like, please go vote for me. He goes, damn it, Barry. He tweeted, he goes, damn it, Barry. Now I have to delete my vote and go vote for Nick. I'm sorry, Nick.
I have to because I have no other. Lately, it's just been brutal, this voting thing. Just real quick news of the day, but very interesting. Not only did Jimmy Butler practice today for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but he brought his A game not only on the court, but also with his mouth. According to Woj, he not only scrimmaged, but he took the B team, or in his case, the third stringers, decided that he wanted to play the starters, and went off. At one point, you could hear him screaming, you bleeping need me, you can't win without me,
wow,
to general manager Scott Layden.
Mm.
He dominated the gym in every way. This on the heels of the Rockets getting a call from the Timberwolves yesterday, trying to restart talks of a trade for Jimmy Butler, although they were adamant about getting Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker, and the deal breaker for the Rockets has been and continues to be P.J. Tucker is not going anywhere.
Yeah, how are they going to get that done then? I mean, I get the Eric Gordon. I think you're better. You get Butler, obviously.
Yeah, the trade-off there is better. A no-brainer.
Yeah. P.J. Tucker, you're already going to be somewhat thinner on defense, although they're saying some of these cats that are coming in are – not going to pick up the slack completely from Bob Mute and Trevor Ariza, but they may not be as bad as we thought.
Keep in mind that Joe Chi was also a piece in a couple of different trade possibilities. Joe Chi has a sprained knee that looked a lot worse than that last night, so that's an issue.
Trade value, though, from Joel, tell me, does he have any value whatsoever?
Joe Chi?
He can really shoot it for a very, very big guy. Like, he's a seven-footer that can really legitimately step away from the basket all the way to the three line and shoot it. But he's as thin as my pinky finger.
Yeah. I was going to say, and you have to send him to a team that's looking just for that.
I don't know. That's a struggle for me. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know,
and
man.
If you don't put Tucker in, you still have to come up with the money to make the whole thing work. And the other thing is Minnesota has been adamant about getting Georgie Jang out off their books as well, who's the big man from Louisville.
Yeah.
Not a bad player, but he's not worth what he's getting paid, and the Rockets don't have room for that.
What about a three-team deal?
That's what they've been trying to do.
Okay.
Everyone has been Sacramento, shocker, that the Rockets involved themselves in a deal with the Kings, but they're trying to get a third team involved to try and spin some pieces and bring some more to the table. But here's the other interesting thing. Tad Brown and Daryl Morey, you have company.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You are the two guys that always found a way to get the team fined for things you shouldn't have said that you loved and couldn't help yourself to say. And Les Alexander was in that book, too. Well, you can include Tillman Fertitta probably on joining that club.
Uh-oh.
He's going to be getting a call from the league or a letter, too, because one of the biggest no-nos for owners and front office people is don't talk about other teams' players.
Yeah,
you just don't do
tampering,
it.
Right?
Instant fine. Remember Magic Johnson, just in passing, made some comment about Paul George before free agency, got drilled with a big fine. Tillman, yours is probably coming because his quote was, we would love to see Jimmy come home to Houston. It's not a financial decision. It's an assets decision on our part. We've got a great basketball team. We think we're as good as anybody in the league. We're not going to give up unreasonable assets to break up this team to get Jimmy Butler, but we would love to have him. Let me say that again. To get Jimmy Butler, but we would love to have him. FYI, it's coming. The league is going to get you for that one. You cannot do that.
That's what does that fine amount?
You can't say the past tense of poop, and you cannot say the player's name any way, shape, or form when you're talking about that.
What is the
say,
fine?
And because he's an owner, remember, they like to tag you with a little bigger fine to send a message. I would bet that's probably 25K, 50K.
Oof. Wow, that much?
Yeah.
Just for saying somebody's name?
Yeah, but it's a player on another team. You can't do that.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's a no-no. So interesting to see how that plays out.
Get
and
you
also
a new Honda with that money.
Yes. Interesting to see. Yeah, get the Honda right there without having to go through connections that don't work.
I didn't.
I said it. That's fine. All right. We're about to wrap things up. Unfortunately, we missed OU Mike today because we got a little short on time.
Oh, boy. So sad.
So you want to get Patrick before we get out of here?
Let's
get
try.
Patrick real quick. Let's talk
try.
Jimmy Butler. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good to listen to your show. Great show, guys. So I just heard you talking about Jimmy Butler. And as you know, I'm a big Chicago guy. By the way, Bears going to whoop that Green Bay butt.
Patrick, whoa, time out. One, we have a win already. And two,
he just weeded.
Where were you when the Cubs crapped the bed? I said, I got to be careful now. Where were you when the Cubs crapped the bed? Where were you?
Oh, the Cubs crapped the bed. Yes, Green Bay got a win. We did mess up Aaron Rodgers' knee nicely. So
still playing, though.
We'll see what Khalil Mack can do a second time. Besides, he didn't play much of the second half. But anyway, I want to talk about Jimmy Butler and the Rockets, man.
Make it quick.
I understand you guys love P.J. Tucker. The team loves P.J. Tucker. Get rid of him. Jimmy Butler's perimeter defense against Golden State is what you need to win a championship. He's going to lock down whoever he guards. He's going to be reliable. He's going to be that glue guy that you guys need, that Chris Paul can help mold.
Is he guarding Draymond Green? Patrick, is he guarding Draymond Green? Because that's a big body. That's who P.J. Tucker would be guarding now.
Would you rather have Jimmy Butler guarding a Klay Thompson on the perimeter or a P.J. Tucker guarding a Draymond Green?
Patrick, you didn't answer my question. If you lose P.J. Tucker, you have nobody to guard Draymond Green. So we're pressed up against it, but we can continue it tomorrow, Patrick. Appreciate the call as always, and appreciate you being a loyal suspect. Hey, we got to get out of here. The Blitz is next. You don't have to do a thing, and they're going to entertain you all the way till 7 o'clock. Fred, AJ, John, they're getting ready to go. Stay tuned for the Blitz. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Usual Suspect.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.